Governor Lamont with Anna and Raven.
Governor, thanks for joining us this morning. Can you give us a situational update on COVID-19 here in the state?
Well, as we expected and prepared for, COVID-19 virus is accelerating throughout our state and throughout our region and throughout our country. We are doing everything we can to prevent this from overwhelming our hospitals. Best thing we can do is what they call social distancing. That's why we've had to take the lead with schools and parades, now even restaurants and bars. If you look what happened in places like Singapore and Hong Kong, they really were able to get through this a lot better than they have in places like Italy, where they took the social distancing not as seriously.
How do you force people to stay inside? Like, are you going to mandate it? Because there was a rumor that was flying around here that it was going to be mandated and enforced that you had to stay home. But is that real?
I don't think that is real. But look, it's all hands on deck. Let's face it, our bars were pretty busy this past weekend. That's why myself, along with our neighboring governors, decided we got to close down the bars because there's just too much close interaction there and it's too contagious. So I'd like to think that people using good common sense along with some of the rules that we got out there will take care of things. But look, you can still take a walk to the park with your family. I love the fact that Stop and Shop is opening up a little earlier in the morning just for folks over 60 so that the most vulnerable in our population are less likely to be exposed.
Governor, I'd like to commend you. You said last week that you would have drive-through testing open in the state within a week, and here we are. We're just a few days later when we're speaking, and I've already seen multiple locations pop up now. Are you aware as of today how many drive-through testing locations there are here in the state, and what is our current testing capability for COVID-19?
We have at least five or six now. I think we'll have many of the other hospitals over the course of the next few days. You drive through, you get the swab, then that can be sent out to testing. Not only are we testing at our own lab, we now have a number of our hospitals, a few of our hospitals able to do testing locally, and we have some commercial labs out of state. Are we doing enough testing? No. Earlier on this, should the feds have given us the green light to do more testing sooner? Absolutely. But here we are. We're doing a lot more testing than we did before. I want to prioritize the folks who are at the hospital so we know what their state is. I want to prioritize probably nurses and daycare workers and folks that actually have to get the work so that, you know, they know they're safe and they're not contagious.
We've been hearing a lot in the news this morning about the new Vance health workers that are being tested, the 200 of them. Any update on that?
Look, they are heroes. All of the folks working at our hospitals are heroes. They're on the front line. You know, new Vance, as you know, has hospitals, you know, throughout the state, as do all of our hospitals. A fair number of the frontline, you know, healthcare workers, not infected, but have been in contact and maybe didn't have all the protective gear they needed early enough. So right now they're on furlough. And one of the things I'd love to do is make sure they're prioritized in terms of testing so we can get them back to work taking care of people.
Governor, you took the extreme step, probably the necessary step. I don't think a lot of people disagree at this point, of closing the restaurants and bars yesterday, along with the governors of New York and New Jersey. Looking at that now, obviously there is a massive economic impact with this situation. Is there even a target date in mind that is just out on the horizon? I mean, obviously all these lines will move, but is there a date that you guys kind of visualize where you say, you know what, possibly, hopefully, maybe?
Well, my first priority is to make sure that we make it easier for these companies to weather through this storm. You know, starting with our restaurants and bars and the service sector, which is slowly grinding to a halt. And what we can do in terms of forbearance on loans, they don't have to make payments on any loans they may have outstanding. What we can do in terms of their workers, so they're getting workmen's or unemployment compensation. So we're taking care of people in the near term. It's tough for me to speculate when this might be over. You know, there's a little good news if you look at places like China and Singapore and Hong Kong. You know, they look like they're temporarily on the backside of this. Some stores and Apple stores and the such are opening. But I say temporarily because we've got to be careful. We don't want a second pandemic following the first.
I really like how you and the governor of New Jersey and New York are all kind of working together and you're all coming up with decisions together. Are you going to continue to do that? I like that we're like a united front and we're all doing the same thing.
And it doesn't make any sense for me to close down a bar if all you got to do is drive across the border to Westchester County.
Right.
And Andrew Cuomo says the same thing. Right now we're talking about primary. We all have a presidential primary scheduled next month. and the thinking about putting that off and doing something again together at a later date so that maybe there's a little less risk or we can plan for alternatives.
Governor Lamont with NN Raven. In closing, is there anything you want to let our listeners know?
Look, I just say I am really, you know, so proud of the state of Connecticut. I think we got out of this early. I think our healthcare workers and our hospitals have been proactive in trying to get ahead of a wave, which is fast coming. I love the fact that our teachers and folks at our schools, some of them, you know, stepped right up and said, oh, my God, we have a lot of folks with free and reduced lunch. What are we going to do? And they've kept the cafeterias going and providing drive-by. I'd urge you to think about your local merchants. Think about getting takeout from that restaurant that you used to go to. Think about getting some gift certificates. Do whatever you can to look out for each other. We're going to get through this.
It's like the news keeps changing every single hour. Every time you hit refresh, there's something new. It's Anna and Raven. Producer Aaron, three things we need to know this hour.
Awesome, guys. Good morning. First thing, actor Idris Elba tested positive for coronavirus. The award-winning actor, known for his roles in TV shows like Luther and the Thor movies, announced on Twitter that, you know, he tested positive for the virus.
This morning, I got some test results back for coronavirus, and it came back positive. Yeah, and it sucks.
Right, yeah.
Thank you for summing it up.
Right, it's exactly what it is.
Is he officially the world's most handsome man with a coronavirus? Is he?
Well,
I saw the Bond girl
maybe.
Got it. Olga, what's her name? Like, I love the fact that celebrities are out there. They're putting a face to this thing, and they're making us feel like you're going to be all right. When Tom Hanks got on and Rita Wilson, and they're putting together playlists, it just makes me feel better.
But you know what scares me about Idris Elba is that he has no symptoms. He came into contact with somebody, and like that's why he got tested, and he tested positive. He has not a single symptom.
And he's kind of the picture of health, which, again, makes it kind of scary, too, if you're a regular person like me who's just trying to survive on a daily basis.
Yesterday, U.S. researchers in Seattle gave the first shot of a test for an experimental coronavirus vaccine. The test trial will give 45 volunteers two doses about a month apart.
I watched that woman get the shot. Mm-hmm. It was like the video was up.
Sure.
She was very calm about it. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't think I'd want to be the first one to get that vaccination. Like, not the first one.
There's good people working on this, and we need it, and we want to. But, like, I won't even buy the first year a new car comes out.
Right.
Like, I wait till the second year because I'm like, they don't know.
We got to give her a lot of credit for being the first one to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. When
and
you're
the,
desperate.
And the other 45 people that are doing it, too.
Starting on Thursday, the grocery store Stop and Shop is going to be letting people ages 60 or older get into the store between 6 a.m. and 7:30 a.m.
Yeah.
This is going to be something that's going to be a little bit nicer for these elderly people because they're going to be able to walk around. The stores are going to be cleaner. No one's going to be, you know, trying to fight them over different products that they're trying to
get. Right, because it's only for the for everybody over 60.
Yep. Yeah, it's been horror stories, really. And some of the saddest stories that we've heard from grocers and from friends that are out there shopping, too, is the encounters that they're having with elderly people that are just overwhelmed by the experience, number one. Number two, the stores are bare in some of these cases, and it's frightening for them. They've made the journey to get out there. They shouldn't even be outside at their age with the fact that this virus is going around. And then they can't reach the upper shelf. It's as easy as that. If you see somebody in need, be nice to your fellow man.
Yeah,
you know?
And
do
keep
what
in
you
mind,
can.
Too, grocery store is one of the only places that can stay open because according to the governors, now we have restaurants that can
only
do takeout. Right, can do takeout and delivery. That's it. No more eating out. And then also gyms will be closed. Movie theaters will be closed as well.
Well, I hope my grandma's open up early this morning getting that chicken she needs.
Yep. Here's Arnold Schwarzenegger telling you what to do to help limit the spread of the coronavirus.
Mm. See, the important thing is that you stay at home. 72 years old. After you're 65, you're not allowed at the house anymore in California, so we stay home.
It's Anna and Raven.
That's a good rule. 65
normal.
Or up, stay home. I mean, when you got a home like Arnold Schwarzenegger's, why not?
But the thing is when he talks, you know, his house actually looks pretty modest in this video.
Sure,
and
well,
we shared this video.
A couple expensive separations and so forth.
But here's the thing. That sounds completely normal.
Child
you just
support.
Stay home. But now I want you to picture this, Raven.
Okay.
I want you to picture Arnold sitting at a relatively modest kitchen table.
Okay, who's he hanging out with?
Well, he's wearing a Terminator t-shirt.
Good. And, move that product, man. He's got some licensing, I'm sure.
And he's cuddling with his donkey that he calls Lulu and a miniature horse named Whiskey.
Now, what's wrong with that? All right? The winds are blowing outside of coronavirus. Bring your friends inside.
Okay. What are they doing sitting at the table?
Oh, yeah, that's yummy. I eat with the Whiskey and there's Lulu. Lulu loves carrots. Whiskey loves carrots. I just had my little bit of vegan food. Oh, that was yummy, huh?
They're having dinner?
They're having dinner at
the
table.
Oh, that's the best time. When you were working on that clip over there, in all seriousness, and he was saying whiskey over and over and over again, I thought he was actually giving booze to the horse and the donkey.
No, that's the name of the miniature horse and the donkey.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. Well, you know he loves it then.
Oh, see, that's what we do. We don't go out. We don't go to restaurants. We don't do anything like that anymore here. We just eat with whiskey. And with Lulu, we have a good time.
They just have a good time.
I was convinced that he was drinking with a horse and a donkey.
Oh, no.
I didn't even ever hear the word carrot. No. You were over there working on that for 20 minutes.
No, he's sober. He's cuddling his miniature horse and his donkey in his
That's
kitchen.
That's lovely.
But then he gets mad, Raven, and then he starts lecturing Lulu and Whiskey.
Oh, what's he mad about?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. These are yummies, huh? And we have a good time. So much more fun than going outside. No more restaurants, okay? No more restaurants. Forget all that. Public gatherings, restaurants, and all those gymnasiums out the window. We stay home.
We stay home. We don't do that, Lulu.
Is he lecturing Lulu because Lulu likes to go to bars and restaurants and gyms?
Do you think he brings the miniature donkey out to the gyms with him? Because they don't do that anymore.
I really thought that they were all drunk.
No.
And that it was going to be problems for him with animal lovers.
No.
I did.
No. Just sitting there at the table cuddling them. But here's the thing. Sometimes, regardless of the fact if you have your miniature horse and your donkey hanging with you while you eat carrots.
They're inside.
Right, they're inside.
All right, part of the quarantine.
You still need to parent your pets,
right? Okay, what happened?
Mwah. Yeah, Whiskey. And you, I have you too. Now I have both of you. No biting. Okay, you got to get along. Good girls.
What is happening?
Sometimes my dogs nip at each other too. You know what you do? You take a little bit of water and you shoot it in the little one's face because he has a murderous rage. I wonder which one has the murderous rage amongst Lulu and Whiskey. I think he's clearly a good burrow daddy.
If you would have told me this is 2020, we're going to be quarantined in our homes and Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be cuddling with a miniature horse and a donkey and saying this.
Yeah. No biting. Okay, you got to get along. Good girls.
I would never have believed you.
They must have been so happy when he was in charge in California.
Remember when we were complaining that January felt really long? Doesn't it feel like January was 17 years ago at this point?
I'm here for the Lulu and Whiskey reality show.
Gosh.
I really am.
Yeah. A lot of small businesses are struggling and trying to figure out what do they do now. It's Anna and Raven. Liz Dederer, she's a small business strategist at SellingWithService.com. Liz, this is a scary time for a lot of small businesses.
It absolutely is. And I think that we'd be irresponsible as small business owners not to address it head on with our consumer base, have those conversations outwardly and openly. I've seen a lot of small businesses say it's not a big deal, you know, whatever. But I think we really need to acknowledge without fear that it's a very real thing that's happening right now. Unprecedented times.
Over the last 72 hours, things really ramped up with every single business that I have any service with. If it's getting your hair cut, if it's, going and getting a manicure or a pedicure, of any personal service, of course. I'm in the wedding business myself, so you have to make contact with these different people because the rules are changing every minute. And if you say nothing, it kind of sounds like you're uninformed.
Correct. You have to confront the elephant in the room. It's really irresponsible of us as business owners not to say, hey, we acknowledge that this is going on. But with that, we also need to give ourselves, a break and cut ourselves some slack to say, I don't have the answer. There is no answer because this is unraveling so quickly before us in very real time. Here's what I know right now. Here's what I'm able to do right now. Here's my immediate what's going on in real time situation.
So how do you do that? How do you suggest that business owners do that?
So there's a few different ways. I think we're all seeing it right now in our email boxes from everyone that we've signed up with in the history of ever. Is emailing us some
all the time.
Right.
Ever. Yeah. Right. Places that I visited six
we're
years
clean.
Ago.
We're cleaning every right. minute. We're yeah. still cleaning. We're paying attention. Right.
Exactly. And what a great top of mind way for businesses to market themselves, right? So it's really smart that we use this as an opportunity to say, hey, by the way, we're aware that this is a thing. This is what we're doing about it. And then I would take it a step further. I really believe that email is in a lot of ways for confirmation, not necessarily for conversation. This is an opportunity to kind of look at your business and say, okay, who are my top 10 favorite clients or customers that I love doing business with that have always been really good to me financially and otherwise, and get them on the phone and say, hey, Sally, you know all this is going on and how could I kind of pivot or repurpose my business right now to continue to support you in different ways? And if you do that kind of listening campaign, you'll hear directly from your core customers what's going on and be able to pivot in real time and provide some solutions.
That's a good idea. Reach out to the top 10, like face-to-face, hey, this is what's going on. Well, not face-to-face because social distancing, but phone-to-phone.
But that's how word spreads, too, because they're your talkers.
It's Liz Dederer. She's a small business strategist.
And we also have to remember that this is not a forever situation. All storms run out of rain. There will be a day when we look back on all of this. So we cannot go into this with absolute fear, panic mindset. I'm advising that small business owners put a 90-day container on this. Not to say that this will end in whatever, but we do have to look kind of at the light at the end of the tunnel. Know your numbers over the next 90 days. Start to make phone calls to your creditors to say, hey, obviously I'm a small business. This is what's going on. Can we maybe move this payment to the end of the term? Can we maybe hold on payments for the next 90 days? It is not going to hurt to ask. The worst that they say is no. And in the meantime, you've tried. Then kind of take a step back and say, okay, these are the actual numbers I'm working with over the next 90 days. What can I do from a head down strategy to come up with some cash flow? And with these service-based businesses, it's really hard because how do you get paid if you're not there to do the hair, do the nails, those sort of things?
Right.
You can sell gift cards. You can sell gift cards right now. Gift cards for when we open next.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's an awareness campaign too, because the worst thing that could happen is that you go silent over this pandemic. And then you come up on the other side of it expecting business to return as normal when you've kind of been out of sight, out of mind. So not only is it a strategy to say, how do I get some cash in the door today? It's also an awareness strategy to say, we are going to open. We're keeping you in the loop of what's going on. We want to maintain to be able to serve and support you down the road. And when we open back up again, let's have a big celebration party or whatever that would look like.
That's awesome. Liz Dederer.
Great advice.
Yeah, great advice. Liz Dederer, you can visit her online, sellingwithservice.com. She's a small business strategist. Thank you for taking the time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
It's like America breathed a sigh of relief when Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson came out and said that they both have the coronavirus and they're okay.
Well, you're right. Now they're even out of the hospital. They're self-quarantined over there in Australia, but they're doing pretty good. And
yeah.
It does feel good.
They know that people are looking to them for positivity, and there's always one thing that can raise your spirits, and that's music, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep. Sienna and Raven, and they've released their own Quarantunes. It's a playlist on Spotify if you're stuck at home. What do you think's on it, Raven?
There's got to be some good stuff. I mean, Rita Wilson, she's a musician herself. She's well-versed in this. Good call.
Good one. Stand 6 feet.
Outside of...
6 feet. Stay 6 feet away from me.
That's 1 meter.
Right. 6 feet away from me.
Okay,
that's
good.
That's good. Right. Yeah, that's
right.
A good one.
Yeah.
Please, right?
Makes
How about
sense.
This?
Today I don't feel like doing anything.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know, though. It's been 24 hours, and my wife is already like, I can't handle this. I'm going to go stir crazy.
I don't understand why people are complaining. Everybody always says, I just want to stay home on the weekends and do nothing. Now
right.
We want you to stay home, and everybody all of a sudden wants to go outside.
It's the human
Since
psyche,
when?
Man. We're just strange creatures.
Right. I always want to stay home. I'm not complaining.
Right.
I have to come here, and then I go home, and you know what I do? I put my pajamas on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
What else is on that list?
Nice.
Just one more day. Until Trump said maybe August, possibly July, if things go okay.
You could save your grandpa's life.
When Trump said that this might be extending to July, August, I felt like a lump in my throat. I'm like, no, I'm not canceling my summer vacations.
Right.
All of a sudden, it got real.
I mean, jumping into a pool with a respirator on is just going to look weird.
Right. And then there was this one that I thought was perfect.
Can't touch this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how we living and you know. Look at my eyes.
If you want to shake, you can have my boot. If you do touch it, get some bleach.
Right, you go Lysol wipes.
Right.
You certainly should wash for 20 seconds if you touch it. And if it's on metal, it definitely stays there for 24 hours, so really wipe that down.
I mean, just don't touch
don't
it,
touch
people.
It.
Don't
touch it.
You can't touch it,
right.
Really.
Yep. Taiwan has the coronavirus outbreak just like we do, but they're on the tail end of it and have fared a lot better than a lot of other nations. How do they do it? It's Anna and Raven. Juanita Ingram is an attorney and the host of Where in the World is Juanita Ingram on the Mommy Talk Live Network. She's originally from the U.S., but now lives in Taiwan, and she just came out of an extended quarantine. How long were you in quarantine, Juanita?
Started right after Chinese New Year. January 27th is when the kids got out. They did not go back to school until the end of February, so it was about 30 days.
And the whole time you stayed inside?
I did, because my son and I both have asthma, and the advisory that a lot of people are getting now, avoid crowds, avoid all non-essential travel. People were working from home. Restaurants were closed. Some grocery stores been open. But when things reopened, even during that time, there was an abundance of new precautionary policies put in. Temperature checks going into every building. You couldn't go to the grocery store if you weren't wearing a mask. Social distancing became so important.
Juanita, call it indifference, call it not believing the hype. People here were a little bit more hesitant to jump on board. Do you find that culturally people were all in right away over there? Did they just follow the rules as they were put forward?
Absolutely. But Taiwan lived through SARS. They had a lot of things that they learned from that experience, and they were in front of it. I think they were one of the first countries to respond. You've got to remember, we're only 81 miles outside of China. So it was a very serious and real threat, yet our numbers have remained extremely low because it was a very aggressive approach and response, but a necessary one, and everyone fell in line. And I think that's partially because there was so much transparency from the government to the public, to the media, that you felt really informed. You felt like you had all the information. So the decisions made sense. The culture here is one of that of the collective culturally anyway. So it wasn't an individualism type of thing of, I just want to go to a bar. It was, what does the community need to stop this domino? Everybody felt like, let's do something. We can't just sit here and act like it's going to solve itself. And so everything that we were asked to do, encouraged to do, there was a pure compliance.
Juanita Ingram is an American citizen living in Taiwan. She's just emerged from a 30-day quarantine with us.
Now, I know you're a mama. You got two kids. What did you do with the kids? Because I feel like that seems to be the overwhelming question with a lot of parents is, how are we going to keep these kids contained for this time?
I know. And that was challenging. You know, all parents aren't teachers. My mom is a teacher. I don't have that anointing. But I did the best that I could. I'm a lawyer, and my kids told me I talk like I'm a lawyer, and I told them I'm sorry. They need to learn how to draft a mean contract one day, you know, holler at mama, but we did the best that we could. You know, sometimes curriculums aren't that easy to pick up and just throw online, but I think the schools did the absolute best that they could. Again, it was a spirit of cooperation that everybody knew that we have to do what we need to do to get through this time frame. I will tell you, I didn't know how bad I would struggle with seventh grade math. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I had to do some tutorials on pre-algebra again and dust off the cobwebs on that. But the kids understood the seriousness of it. It was on the news here. We were, again, fed with so much information that it became empowering.
Juanita, you've just emerged from a 30-day quarantine. Places are open again there in Taiwan. What is it like getting back to life as normal? Or is it normal at this point?
It's not that your life goes back to normal, but you do pick up routine again. We're still required to wear a mask if we go into the grocery store. They're still taking a temperature check for my kids to go into school every day. They have to wear a mask on the bus. And right now, with everything that's happening in the rest of the world, as you can imagine, they're discouraging us from leaving Taiwan and going anyplace else and trying to come back because the rest of the world is not as stable. People can expect that there is light at the end of the tunnel. You will live through it. It will be challenging, but it's not the end of the world. Zombies are not coming. I know it will feel scary. The first time I wore my mask out, I felt like I was having a panic attack because I have asthma and I felt like I couldn't breathe. But it was because the environment was so overwhelming. But you get used to what is your new norm. But the good thing is when kids go back to school, there is a sense of routine that comes back in place, but it will always be tinted a little bit for the immediate future with the precautions that we have to take now, because you can't let your guard down and just act as though this virus is going to go away. It's not, until we take action.
Juanita Ingram, she's an attorney, actress, author. She's the host of Where in the World is Juanita Ingram on the Mommy Talk Live Network. Thank you so much for taking the time and answering our questions. There's two kinds of parents right now, Raven.
Okay.
Those who have color-coded Excel spreadsheets with stickers and a strict plan in place to teach their kids while they're home.
Highly committed parents to teaching their kids.
Then there's people like me that didn't understand fully that I'm supposed to be the teacher now.
Oh, gosh.
And that I have no plan whatsoever. So my girlfriend started texting, it's Anna and Raven, saying like, okay, what's your plan for the kids? And I was like, well, they got to stay home.
Right.
And they're like, no, you idiot. Like, for school, I go, what?
Right, right. We're going to watch Disney Plus.
They released Frozen 2. I mean, I got that worked out, right?
We've got ice cream. I'm pretty sure we've got cold cuts. We've got enough.
Right. I bought some French fries. Like, everything's fine. But then I looked on Facebook, and I could not believe the amount of people that, like, schedules.
Right.
With each kid, what they're doing each day. And I was like, wait a minute.
Well, they do talk about how important it is, and parents want to get out in front of it. We have no idea how long this is going to last. Could be 2 weeks, could be 2 months. We just don't know, and we don't want our kids to turn into a bunch of stupid lards.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Is that Hayden's school is great, and they like have... They went over how to log in every day on their computers.
So there's an online curriculum.
There's an online curriculum. She knows that she gets up every morning mm-hmm. and that she has to log in and she does her work. She says it takes her about 3 hours every morning. And okay. I'm like, okay, great.
Wow,
like,
that's pretty diligent. Good. Right. Yeah. Instead of knocking it out in 15 minutes and getting to the party.
But that's the whole thing is like they have to give them a lot of work. So
right.
there's a lot online that they have to do. And I have to really commend these teachers for being able to put this together. Some
a lot of
kids
effort.
Have packets. Some kids have this online curriculum. It was a lot of work that went into them. But when all of a sudden she had a question and I had to answer it,
oh boy,
I was like a deer in headlights.
Right.
I was like, So I used to teach high school English, you know, many years ago in
right.
my past life.
Right.
But when it comes to things like math, like
it's not your strong subject.
No.
I mean, we've proven that here before on
right.
the air several times. And mm-hmm. just knowing you as a person, like, I would never, no, you can't put your life in Anna's hand for arithmetic.
And the problem is also that because we know the old math and mm-hmm. they have this new math and all of that seems
foreign. Oh, right.
Foreign
you got to show it.
I don't
know. And all that. Yeah, nobody understands that.
So I made you a quiz.
Some pointers?
32,000 divided by 80. Go ahead, Raven.
Wait a minute.
You can't take out your phone and the calculator. I tried that. She said you're not allowed to do that.
32,000 divided by 80 is 400.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
How did you do that?
Thank you very much. I was a Vegas dealer, so, you know, that's
well,
like
then
roulette.
This is your stuff.
Right.
560 divided by 80.
Oh, come on. Now you're going to get crazy. 560 divided by 80. It's eight.
No, it's seven.
Wrong. Wait a minute. I got so excited, I thought I was going to be right on that one, too.
But
yeah, 640 would have been eight.
How do you explain to a child
right.
in fifth grade how you came to that? Because then I'm like,
oh, no.
Okay, I'm like, eight times seven
yep.
equals 56,
right.
I think, because I was eight. The eight timetables were always my weakness.
Right.
So I'm like, but then you can
Is that why
zero.
You gave it to me?
What? Yeah. But then she got into the big numbers.
Okay.
And 96 million.
Can I write it down?
Yes. 96
right.
million.
96 million. Yep.
Divided by 80.
Divided by what?
Yeah.
By 80?
Right.
80. Just 80?
Yeah.
Oh,
96 million divided
what?
By 80.
Okay,
carry the one.
What?
I don't think you carry the one anymore. I don't think you carry it anymore.
If you keep talking, so wait,
then
eight
you subtract
80.
I told you never need to know that.
96 million?
No, it's 1.2 million.
No, so it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be 1.2.
1.2 million.
But I was right and I had it.
Well, you know what?
I just didn't have all the zeros. That would help.
What I told her is that you have a phone now that has a calculator and she won't need to know this. And I don't know if her math teacher is going to approve that.
Right. It doesn't sound like the morning announcements by the principal. But maybe you get to the same result.
I guess. I might be alone in thinking this, but I was shocked because Hillary Duff made a bold statement about who she thinks is responsible for the spread of the coronavirus.
Oh, boy.
It's Anna and Raven. This is what she said.
To all you young millennial assholes that keep going out and partying, go home. Stop killing old people, please.
What are you talking about? Like, I think she is so wrong here because she's saying that the millennials are going out and they're partying and they're the ones spreading it. I think that millennials, for the most part, they know how to contact and reach each other and have conversations on FaceTime and text and Snapchat and all the social media.
Well,
the problem is my parents.
Well, you don't know what's going on. I mean, in her neighborhood, she may be seeing plenty of millennials that are out there right now. So the world is larger than just Anna Zapp's yard.
No.
Hillary Duff is usually an angel.
Yeah, but I think she's wrong here, and I think it's more than my yard. So my parents live in Westport, Connecticut. Westport, if you missed it in the news in the last 24 hours, has 20 cases. They have 20 cases in a very small town.
Okay.
It all originated from one party. When I called my mom
they
yesterday.
Like the party.
They like
Ain't
the party
no party like a coronavirus party because the coronavirus party don't stop.
Ooh.
I mean, I couldn't even say it once fast. It's tough.
Right. So I called my mom. I'm like, Ma, what you
right.
doing? She's like, oh, I'm just getting the lotto.
Ma, right.
go home.
Right.
You're not.
The lotto?
What am I going to do? I'm not going to play the lotto? What if my numbers come out? I go, Ma.
And they would.
Right, they would.
That's immediately how it works.
And
the day you don't play.
And then I'm like, Ma, just go home. She's like, I just got to stop and pick up some pastries.
Right,
I go,
three more
what?
Places.
Right. I go, what do you mean? She's like, Zia and Zia are going to come over. It's a quick cup of coffee. I go, Ma, no, right. You got to stay home.
My grandfather-in-law went to open mic night the other night.
Good.
What? Because he was bored.
See?
And he went down there and nobody was there because everybody else is more intelligent than he is. Just him and the band.
I think.
Don't touch the microphone, Pop. Don't do it.
Millennials are constantly contact. Like, and we're in that middle generation. So we know what's going on. We understand. We're able to do all this. But some of our older generation, I don't think that they understand the severity of like what stay at home means. Because she's like, I'm going home.
Right.
I'm going home in a few minutes.
Stay home once you get your items.
Right.
Well, that's what we like to do. We like to bunker once we get our supplies. It's like a squirrel. I mean, squirrels have been doing this since the beginning of time. We gather our nuts. We head back to the hut. Right. And then that's where we go ahead and bunker down. We're the same way.
She's like, I'm not going shopping. Well, like, you're not going to the mall. Like, the malls are going to be closed soon, Ma.
Like, right. She's like, that's why I got to go now. Right. And I'm going to get some pastries. Do you want a pastry?
I don't think that it's the millennials that are a problem. I think it's trying to convince this older generation that's really on the cusp of that over 60.
Yeah.
That they're the ones that are don't get the severity. And I think that with all these press releases with Trump and all these things,
I would caution against blaming
anybody
type, millennials or older people or whatever. We all know that it's the fault of Obama and Trump. We all know that.
I don't know. I don't want to. I'm not boarding that train. Absolutely not.